here. So my name is Chris Baldwin, and this is Daniel Emerson, and we are both program managers on the Microsoft Intune team. And we're here today to talk about managing applications in Microsoft Intune. And so this conversation, this presentation is really divided into two kind of distinct sections. So the first section is going to talk about some of the investments that we've made based on feedback in general application management in Microsoft Intune, based on all the customer feedback that we've gotten. We're going to drill into some of those features around that. And then I'm going to hand it off to Daniel, and Daniel's going to drill a little deeply and show some demos about how to manage the specific Office applications, kind of an extension to what you probably saw Julia demo during the keynote. So we'll get a little bit deeper on that. And then we'll leave time at the end for questions if anybody has anything around anything that you saw. Okay? So you've seen for sure this slide. If you've been to any mobility sessions, you've seen this slide. You probably have it memorized by now. You've seen it so much. But it's important to mention what the enterprise mobility vision is in Microsoft, and that's to help organizations enable their users to be productive on devices they love while helping to ensure keeping corporate assets secure. And I like this graphic because the user and the IT guy are both on there, and they're both given equal weight, but they're kind of at opposing odds, right? So the end users want things to be easy and fast and seamless, and the IT pro wants things to be controlled and locked down. And there's a sweet spot in the middle, and it's important to find a balance for lots of different reasons, for the end user's benefit and for the IT pro's benefit. And this is kind of our guiding light for, you know, when we design solutions for enterprise mobility, what we try to enable is to find that right balance. And with Intune, you have solutions to manage devices, you have solutions to manage applications on the devices, and with the EMS suite, you have solutions to manage the data itself too. And we'll talk about each of these specific steps as we go through the presentation. We believe in protecting data while giving users choice at Microsoft. And so we have structured our investments in this area around these three major pillars. The first one is being able to manage mobile productivity and protect data with Office. And this is kind of what you saw set up in the keynote and at Andrew Conway's foundational session, if you saw that. And so what we're here to really talk about for the most part is how you can use native Microsoft Office applications, the world's most favorite productivity application by end users, written specifically for the devices that your users know and love, with all of the same, you know, techniques and gestures and functionality that are available in those Office applications, and also manage that as the IT pro by applying policy and controlling the data and restricting sharing where you have to and having the ability to do things like selectively wipe the device. And so we feel like this is something that's really good because, like I said, the users get their native Office experience and the IT pro gets the ability to manage it. We're doing these for iOS and for Android. What we also have is a suite of applications that we're building, Microsoft first-party applications that we're publishing to the public stores that you'll be able to use on your devices for doing things like PDF viewing, image viewing, video viewing. And so a set of content viewers that, when you install them on a device along with Office, really creates, enables you to do everything you need to do around content. And all of those applications, in addition to the Office applications, are also manageable natively by Microsoft Intune. And so we'll talk a little bit more about that. We also are offering the availability to either wrap or write your own managed applications with our SDK. So you can have your own applications that you use in your business kind of interact with the Office applications and interact with these managed content viewers in a way that kind of lets you use the data exactly as you want to use it on the device. The second thing on this list is something that you may have seen talked about yesterday. Our colleague Dilip did a presentation yesterday afternoon on what we call conditional access policy. And so what this allows is for the IT pro to restrict access to corporate resources, email or, you know, OneDrive for business content, based on whether or not the device is managed. So it's enrolled into Microsoft Intune and it's manageable and we know its state. And not only is it managed, but is the device compliant to the policies that the IT pro has set for those devices? So you have the ability to say, I know that you as the end user have fiddled around with your PIN, or I know that you've turned off encryption. And because of that, we're going to block you from accessing resources at the service level until you fix those things. Then we provide the end user with a good walkthrough and a good experience to fix those things. So definitely recommend checking out that aspect of Dilip's presentation, which was yesterday, and you'll be able to find that, those resources online. And the last thing is around corporate-owned devices. So with Microsoft Intune that's out right now, we have great support for bring your own device. We have that pretty much covered. It's really easy for an end user to get a device, get credentials they need, and get their devices enrolled into management without having to call up IT or create a big headache there. There's also another set of scenarios, which are when the devices are not bring your own by users. They're owned by the corporation. Corporations and companies might buy boxes of these devices, and they need to provision them and hand them out to users. We've made a set of investments in that area, too, to make that easier, and we'll talk about that in this presentation. There's also another more specific presentation on corporate-owned tomorrow morning. So if that's a scenario that's pertinent to you, definitely check that out. We think about protecting data in four different layers, and three of the layers are on this slide. The first layer is typically what is called, layer zero, let's call it that, is identity. And that's using Azure Active Directory as the primary source for identity information, sign-on, directory service across all the Microsoft clouds. Assuming that's there, we think about layer one as your classic MDM kind of stuff. So this is, I can enforce a PIN on a device. I can turn on encryption. You can do things like, turning off access to the store or blocking the camera and things like that if you have to do it. This is restrictions of the entire device. And that is very sufficient, but oftentimes when you have end users who are bringing their own device, if they need to enroll their device into management in order to get access to company resources that they want, oftentimes they don't want to have the 6-digit PIN that you may want them to have, or oftentimes turning on encryption is a slow process, or oftentimes, of course, they want to use the camera, or they want to use the apps they want to use. And so this is good because it does some protection, but it leaves some gaps. And of course, once you enter that PIN, the entire device is unlocked, and there's no distinction between which applications are accessing corporate data, which applications on the phone are not corporate applications, and you can leak data that way. The second layer is around application and data containers. And this is what Daniel is going to be talking about later, and this is what you saw in the keynote. And this is the ability to kind of manage the applications specifically, creating and applying policy to applications on these devices. And these applications are the ones that you know are going to be dealing with corporate data. And so what that lets you do is it lets you keep your hands on the stuff on the device that is corporate and keep your hands off the stuff on the device that is personal. In addition, you are allowed to kind of control what these applications do and how they talk to one another. So you could say that the managed office applications, you can't share data through the Android, sharing button with Facebook. You can't copy-paste data out of Excel and paste it into the native mail client. Things like that to keep data protected on a device. Level three is what we tend to call data wrapping. And this is provided by kind of RMS services. And this is protecting the data. So even the files themselves, even if the files do leave the devices or do end up being sent to someone outside of your company through email, the protection is on the data itself. And I think you've seen that in the keynote as well. And so we're going to be covering layer two in depth in this conversation that we're going to have today. And dive very deeply into how to manage those applications. So in order to solve this whole level two problem of how do you keep the data and applications on your device protected, what you see in the market today as a solution for this for the most part is what are commonly known as containers. And so these are kind of things you install on the device, and they are large monolithic kind of things into which you install your corporate applications. And the end user is either inside the container or they're outside of the container. And they context switch between the two, right? And they tend to offer the ability to manage just the container itself, but not the individual apps inside of it. So what we hear from customers a lot is that, yeah, that's great for manageability maybe, but it's a real issue with the user experience because, number one, it's a big context switch for the users to go in and out of the container. And secondly, what you often get is proprietary applications built by the container vendors for doing the productivity things that users really want to be doing with Office. So you may be using a third-party email client or a third-party Excel editor, Word editor, and what we hear is just the user experience for users just isn't there. Why can't we use Office? Why can't we use the apps that we know and love in order to do what we need to do? And so our vision, we think there's a better way. And so this is what we really want to offer. What we have and what you'll see is that the applications live kind of side by side. Your corporate apps live side by side with your personal apps. It's often very transparent to the users whether an app is managed or not. It's only when they try to do something with that corporate data that you don't want them to do that they even become aware that there's any restrictions placed on that application at all. Also, the applications that we've been working very closely with the Office team to build are going to be published through the public store. So users are going to go get these applications from the iTunes store or from the Play Store the exact same way they would get. Well, it's the exact same application. So if you're unmanaged, you'll get the same application. If you're managed, you get exactly the same application. The manageability baked inside of these applications is inside the app and is latent until that device comes under management and until the ID Pro deploys policy to it. So it makes it very easy to welcome devices into your environment and apply protections on those applications. And it's very easy for the user because there's nothing else for them to learn how to do. Another issue around bad user experience is that if it's difficult for users to edit documents or to enroll, that could just generate extra help desk costs for you. So by letting them do what they know how to do already and by making it easy, it just streamlines the process and reduces costs. And so the rest of the presentation is kind of structured around these four kind of major elements of the life cycle of enterprise mobility. And we're really going to focus on the provisioning, managing, protecting, and retiring aspects of it with this particular focus on the applications, not necessarily around device, but more around applications. So you'll see this graphic come up a number of different times. And so, as I said, the first part of this presentation is going to really be talking about the investments that we made in general application management and deployment using Intune. And so I'll just get right into that. We talk to customers a lot, and apps are very, very big part of enterprise mobility. And we have learned that IT pros have really complex app deployment needs. There's a lot of things at play when you talk about applications. And the first thing is that, you know, typically in a mobile environment, there's multiple different kinds of devices. You've got iOS, you've got Android, you've got Windows Phone, and all of them are different platforms. They all have different capabilities. They all behave slightly differently. They support different things with respect to how you can manage and protect data and devices. And so that's a challenge because that all has to be managed in a consistent way. Secondly, users, you need to give them the ability to get the apps onto their devices. You need to give them the ability to browse and find the apps that they need to get their work done. And you know, you do want to do other things around making sure only specific apps are allowed to run and keeping applications up to date. All of these are things that, you know, are common challenges based on what we hear from you around application management. And so what we hope to show you today is how Intune helps you kind of solve all these problems and have a unified way to manage all of that. Real quick background, a little bit of background here is that you may be aware of this, you may have seen the slide, but when you're talking about Intune, there's really two major configurations you can run in. On the left-hand side is what we call the standalone or cloud-only version. This is entirely web-based, cloud-based. You sign up for a subscription, and you're pretty much up and running. Everything is done directly through the web console. The second one is a configuration where you're connecting the Intune cloud with your on-premise existing config manager infrastructure. So you're really free to choose whichever one of these suits you best. Cloud is good for just going for getting up and running quick and easy. And the attached hybrid model is something that allows you to leverage your existing investment in config manager. So your users or your admins who are going to be managing your devices use the same console as that they're already familiar with for managing PCs with SCCM. They're not learning something new. They're not installing necessarily anything different for them to do. There's a couple other benefits here, too. You can refer back to the slide, but I won't get into any more detail on this. And, of course, from the end user perspective, too, it's so nice how they use the word family here. You have a consistent yet tailored to the device experience for your end users for interacting with the service when it comes to apps. So when your users want to go find apps, they have a native experience on the device which has standard iOS or Android style kind of, you know, gestures and workflows, but you know, classified in a way that's common across all the devices. So it's really easy for a user to get up from their Windows 8.1 device, move to their iOS device, and kind of find applications through Intune in the same way. So switching gears a little bit, I'm going to talk about some of the investments we've made in application management for corporate-owned devices. And so there's a number of things that we've done to help the corporate-owned scenarios, and those are in these two major categories. One is around bulk enrollment, so that's really helping companies enroll a bunch of devices, get them provisioned, and then it's how to do configuration policies on those devices. And so we're going to focus on these two. I don't know if you can see that block there. Yeah. So these are the two that really are pertaining to apps, and so we'll talk about that. Some of the common things that we hear around configuring applications for corporate-owned devices are, for example, number one, that you need to ensure that the right apps are delivered to the device. And for a situation where you're not under bring your own device, that could be difficult because you're not necessarily enrolling the device under the context of a specific user. You're enrolling that device as, for example, the IT department. And so how do you make sure the apps get to that device? One thing that we've done is we've enabled the ability to target applications and policy to device collections inside of Intune, not just user collections. I'll show you an example of that. Next, you want to control what apps users can install. If it's a corporate-owned device, you may not want your users to install things like Facebook, or you may not want them to install things like WhatsApp. And so you can control by you know, setting these things in the console what applications are allowed to be done on these, or what applications are allowed to be installed on these devices with an app allow deny list. And then you want this done quickly. If you know, we continue to make significant improvements in application installation performance. And so we've done a tremendous amount of work to make app deployment fast and very responsive. And with the release that's coming up, you'll definitely see those improvements there. Device app targeting. So this allows users to quickly deploy applications to task worker devices. So the scenario here is around corporate-owned is that you get these devices, and you know that with these 100 devices that you're handing out to the workers in your factory or to whoever, you want them to all have these applications on them. So all these devices are going to be enrolled by a particular user, and because you don't necessarily want those applications to be targeted towards that user, you want the applications to be targeted towards the device. And so this is often used together with kiosk mode policies for provisioning devices so that they get the right applications on them and they're locked down to specific scenarios for task workers. There's a small screenshot of that there. There's not a ton to see in the console around this, but what you will see is that there's a new node in the deployment screen that says devices. And so that's what enables you to do that. Allow or block apps is another feature that's coming out in the next release. And so this basically prevents unauthorized apps from being used on devices. One of the things that is a constant, you know, things that we think about all the time working on a management service like Intune is that every device has their own different capabilities. And so we need to kind of manage the devices to the greatest extent that the devices allow themselves to be managed. And so this is one example of that. So Windows Phone, they actually have baked directly into the operating system on Windows Phone. When you apply a whitelist or a blacklist policy for an application, that Windows Phone will just prevent the app from running entirely. So you'll click on the app, you'll get a pop-up that says, sorry, your IT pro has said you can't run this app. If the user goes to install an application that's not already there and you've blocked that app, it's actually blocked from installing in the store. So that's a very tight integration and a very good way on Windows Phone to prevent unauthorized applications from being used. On iOS and Android, the platforms themselves don't necessarily support that kind of control over the applications. And so the way this works on those two devices is that basically that it's reporting. So you'll deploy these policies to these devices, and if we detect that one of these disallowed applications is present on the device, that notification will surface through the IT admin console, and you can take corrective action in that way. Basically, you can classify a device as being non-compliant, you know, based on whether or not that application exists. I'll show you an example later on around how to configure that inside of the console. Another thing that we've added in the new release is one additional way to manage iOS store apps. So what this is the ability to push automatically onto iOS devices free applications that live in the iTunes store. Previously, if you wanted to do a mandatory push of an application to a device with an iOS application, you had to sideload that application manually through the Intune console. Now we can do that with the app living in the store. And so that's really great for users because what they get is the ability to just kind of get that application installed through the Intune UI without having to go separately go to the store. Because that application is coming down through the management channel, through Intune, you get all of the kind of monitoring and an installation status around the application that you get with other kinds of apps too. So you can tell this app is, you know, this app has been installed or this app has not, has had a problem being installed. You can inventory those apps and then you can push policy to those apps. And so what's important about this is that when the Office applications and the other suite of content viewing applications get released to you, they're going to be released through the public store. And so this is the mechanism that on the iOS side you're going to want to use most likely to get those applications from the public store onto your users' devices. And of course, even prior to the managed app store app deployment, you can create apps that live in the store as deep links. And so what that means is that instead of automatically initiating a service-based installation or of that application, the user just says, hey, you want to install this app? Let us take you over to the store where you can do that installation manually. That exists today. We're adding the top part in the release that's coming in the next several months. So here's basically how to do that. When you go to the software publisher assistant in the console and you go to add a new managed software object to the console, you'll simply see another item in the dropdown here that says managed iOS apps from the App Store. And then you paste in the URL for the application that you find on the iTunes Store. And then you're free to deploy that application as a required app, and that app will end up on the user's device with the content coming from the public store. When you do this, it's also possible to enforce policy on that application. This is what Daniel's going to show. Not device policy, but application policy. So this slide is rather deep technically, and it's something that's really important, and so I'm going to talk about this in some sort of depth. Because when you go to deploy, for example, the Office applications to your users, chances are you're going to hit an issue with that. And I want you to have these steps and refer back to this slide as a way to kind of get around that. So the issue is on the iOS operating system. An application cannot be managed by an MDM provider if that application doesn't come through the management channel. Okay. So what that means is, if your users go out and download the manageable Office application on their device, or they have it there already, and they come and enroll the device, and you want to put policy on those applications now to, say, prevent sharing or prevent copy-paste, that's not going to work unless that application is reinstalled onto the user's device through Intune. This is a platform limitation on iOS. And so effectively what has to happen is that you need to get that application that pre-existed on that user's device off somehow. They have to uninstall it, then allow the application to come back down through the management channel. So ideally, you know, if you can get them to uninstall it and then wait, that's great. You can approach this by sending them an email or letting them know or just kind of, you know, raising awareness. But if not, there's some technical solutions you can follow to make that work. And so what you can do is you can do a number of different things. So number one, you can set the application prior to deploying it. You can set the manageable Excel, for example, application in the application blacklist. Okay. So what that'll do is that will let you know that, hey, this user is probably going to have this problem when you deploy the Office apps, and then you have the chance to remediate that somehow. You can talk to them initially. You can use this information to approach them and say, hey, we know you have this application. You're going to have to uninstall it in order to get done what you need to get done. Once they install that application, then the managed app will come down through the management channel. So it's not the most elegant thing, but it is something that you're probably going to hit. And so I wanted you to have this as a reference. Happy to answer questions on that later if there's anything around that. Another thing that we've done in the Intune console is added the ability to do application updates for required apps. And so what this is I said required, I actually meant available apps. So this is the scenario where you publish an application through the company portal, the Intune store, and it's an optional installation for your end users. Your users can optionally go install that application. Previously, it was not possible to push an update, a Play Store or a public store style update to that application. Now you can, and it's very easy to do. Basically, if you have a V2 of your app for iOS or for Android, you basically right-click, add the new binary, hit save, and that application will be automatically updated on that user's device in a very similar manner to how public store apps are updated kind of automatically through that channel. And so with mobile applications kind of being updated very, very frequently, you see this, the update frequency being much more It happens a lot more than your conventional EXE or x86 applications. And so making a very streamlined way to update applications on users' devices is something that we got a lot of requests for, and we've built that for the next release. All right. So I'm going to switch over. Hopefully my thing didn't time out. My mouse is still alive. And I'm just going to show you a few of these things in the console. Let me just make sure that this actually is working. All right. I just need to re-authenticate on here real quick since it timed out. Okay, I can switch over. Was it number one?
PC's one.
All right, there we go.
Can you check the keep signed in?
I should, yeah. And so what I'm going to show you here is just a couple just really kind of quick walkthroughs of some of the new app deployment features that I talked about. And so if you want to, for example, add an application to the blacklist and you know, create a prohibited application, you start off here in the policy tab. And so what you're going to do is create a configuration policy. And I'll show you an example of doing that for an Android device. You would click Add and create a new policy just exactly the way you would otherwise, and we'll do it for Android. Android configuration policy, and we'll create that. And so what you see here, let me pull this over a little bit, is this surface down here, compliant and non-compliant apps list for Android. So we can say, for example, as the IT department, we don't want users to be able to install WhatsApp on this corporate device. And so we'll create a policy that says, for example, Android app. Android app prohibition, and then we'll come down here, and we'll click this. So you've got two options. You can either do a compliant list or a non-compliant list, and so we'll do a non-compliant list here. So that means things in this list will be prohibited applications. Conversely, you can add a list of things which would be the whole set of applications that are allowed to be installed, and then you click Add. And so the way to add it is basically just type a name. So we'll do, this is not in no way reflects my opinion of the WhatsApp application whatsoever. But the way you restrict it is very easy. It's just as easy as finding what the URL is in the Play Store or the iTunes Store and then pasting that in. Okay, so just copy paste it out of your browser, paste it into this dialog, click OK, click Save. And so now that this policy is created, you can go deploy this policy to any of your Android devices the same way you would do any of the other policies in Intune. For iOS applications, for managed iOS applications, what I mentioned before was that it's all built into the software publishing assistant. And so what you're going to do is click this one from the dropdown, managed iOS app from the App Store. Same deal, specify the URL and just paste it in. I don't have one on me right now, but it's essentially the same workflow. And finally, application update. So if I go back to the software tab, this is the part in the console where you kind of view everything about the software that you're managing for your organization. And I can see, when I look in this list, that I have an application, a generic application, you know, published to my Android users. Custom line of business APK that, for example, I've written for them to use. And I want to update this to version 2. Right click, go to edit. So since it's already deployed, what you effectively want to do is edit the application in place. Let's see when this pops up. Sign in if things are timing out. And so this will bring up the software publishing assistant, and you'll be able to kind of be walked through you know, what it looks like to edit the bits for an application. So we'll go here. So this is application metadata. You can change any of this at any time, and it won't trigger an application update. So you can change the name, you can change the description, the icon, what have you, and that won't do anything really on the device. But what will change stuff on the device is this here. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to flip back here and pick version 2 of my application. Copy as path. Paste that in. And so you have the ability to set minimum operating system. And so what this shows is that it's detected that it's an update. It says you've already deployed version 1. This is going to be version 2. You update that. And since it's already deployed, you don't need to go through the extra step of deployment. Now, any device that has this application installed is going to get a classic style notification saying, hey, there's an update's available for this, or have the update pushed. And it says right here, users' devices that are previously installed will automatically be updated. And so that's that. I'll switch back to the slides. Where's the clicker? There we go. And so these next slides are just where a click through of exactly what I showed you, so I'll just go through that. This is so good, I wanted you to see it twice. So I'm not going to go through these. These are here for your reference, so you can refer back to these slides later. So this slide and the one following it is just a matrix of the general world of application support in Microsoft Intune and how that works across devices. So you can refer back to this slide if you have further questions around, hey, how does this work on phone 8.1? How does this work on iOS? How does it work on Android? What about pushing? What about this or that? Come back to these slides, and I think your questions will be answered there. And the things with the green splats on them are things that are coming in the next major release in the next several months. All right? And so with that, I'm going to hand it over to Daniel, who will talk about managing corporate apps.
Thanks, Chris.
Yep.
Hello. You guys hear me all right? Great. As Chris mentioned, I'm Daniel Emerson. I'm another program manager on the Intune team. My part of the team has been working for the last, few months or so on delivering the experiences that you saw in the keynote. Everything from the admin console that we're going to walk through today, through the policies, working with the Office team to get this baked into those applications. So it's really exciting for me to be up here today and talk to you guys about what we've been working on. All right, so as Chris mentioned, we talk to customers a lot. Probably some of you in the room we may have talked to, or some of our colleagues have talked to really understand what the pieces are for app management that are important to your businesses and to your corporate needs for protecting data. And so some of the big messages that we heard were that there's kind of two extremes in the experience. On the one end, we have the need to actually protect that data, to be able to lock it down, make sure that the core business applications, like the Office applications, are protected and the corporate data isn't inadvertently leaking out of them. On the other end of the spectrum, we've got the end users, the people that are actually doing their jobs, using these apps every day on these devices, and they need to be able to do that. And they need to be able to do that with as little kind of blockage or hindrance as possible. And so what we thought about when we were doing the work around the mobile application management policy and this app layer work is really how do we do that in an effective way such that the end user experience is clean, it's simple, it works as they would expect it to work, but you guys have the controls you need to protect that data. So on the next few slides, we're going to kind of walk through both the IT aspects of it and the end user aspects of it. One other thing to mention here is that this ties back into those four different layers that Chris mentioned earlier. Or if you look at Brad Anderson's blog, there's a good blog on apps and devices. And it talks really in more depth about what these layers are and kind of what the Microsoft strategy is around protecting data with these different layers. Okay, so we talked a lot, okay, managed applications, they're great. How do you get them? Where are they? How do you get started with them? And from our end, there's kind of four categories or four paths that you could use to get to manageable applications, applications that can take policy and have their data protected. We've talked a lot about the Office applications. These are apps that have included our capabilities. They're baked into those apps. You don't have to go get a special version that's, Word for Intune. It's just the Office app in the app stores. There's the companion apps or the viewer apps, and these are necessary to complete the experience that we see most information workers or end users needing to do with their application. So if you have an email application, likely you're going to have attachments. It might be a voicemail audio file. It might be training video. It might be a PDF document that includes business critical information. And we need to make sure that if we're protecting the email application, that viewing that supplemental content isn't kind of breaking us back out into the unprotected space. So we've developed a series of applications to assist you in doing that with your end users. The last two pieces are the tools that we're providing to make you enabling to include these in your applications or third parties to include them in their applications. So we have two options here. We have an SDK, which is a developer-focused set of tools and capabilities, and then we have this app wrapping tool, which is really focused on you guys, the IT pros, that you're going to do inside if you have a packaging group that maybe uses tools today for repackaging MSIs, or maybe you do virtualization today with something like application AppV, Microsoft's AppV. These are the types of people that would want to be using this app wrapping tool. So on the SDK itself, if you have an in-house development team that can build apps that you're using to build your line of business apps, this is really what we recommend. It gives you a little bit more flexibility in the controls and the experience compared to the app wrapping tool. The app wrapping tool is great if you've got an existing app package. Maybe you've contracted someone to build it for you, or it's an older app and you don't have the source, or you just don't really want to go rebuild that application. You can use that app wrapping tool as a post-compilation step. Okay, so like Chris did in his half, what I wanted to do in my half is kind of give you a step-by-step guide on how you can use these things. And when you go back and you're kind of reviewing the content, you'll have this as a reference to work through. And we're going to dive into a little bit more detail in the next few slides, and then we'll do a demo and show you how it works. But to kind of get started, you need to figure out what path you want to take, whether you want to wrap it with our tool or you want to have your development teams integrate our SDK into your line of business apps. Once you've done that and you've got your app package ready to go, you need to go through the standard process of pulling those applications into Intune, and we'll show you how to do that if you're not familiar with it. But this is a standard software import operation. Next, you'll need to create the policies, figure out how you want to control and protect the data in those applications, and finally, during the deployment of those applications, you're going to need to attach that policy to that app deployment. And when we go through it, I'll add a little bit more color to that. But the reason that we wanted to do it this way is so it would be streamlined and part of your existing workflows. Including it in the deployment step allows you to do the association of that policy to a specific user group or set of user groups with specific applications. And when we went out and talked to customers about what they needed here, this was a core need. Rather than saying, hey, I'm going to push a policy out to the device and maybe it later associates with apps, they really wanted to have that fine-grained control to say maybe the engineering department would get one policy for Word and the marketing department could get a different policy for Word. So we've kind of tried to figure out how to add that capability in a way that's as kind of simple and as familiar as possible for folks that are already using Intune today. Okay, so a little bit more on the app wrapping tool. So I've covered a little bit of these points, but let's dig in a little bit more. As I mentioned, it's a post-compilation command line tool. We'll be, in the next couple months, releasing one for iOS, and then a little bit later, we'll have one out there for Android. What this works with is existing IPA files that you own, that you have the IP for. They're part of your company's assets. They have to be unencrypted. We can't do this with store apps. They have to be ones that you have in an unencrypted state. And then you need to have the right certificates, and they differ a little bit per platform. iOS has some specific ones, and then Android has a different set of specific ones that you need in order to re-sign that application so it can be installed on the device. The tool itself is, like I mentioned, a command line tool. We'll have one that runs on Mac devices for iOS, and we'll have one that runs on Windows for Android packaging. We're going to put it up on our download center so it's easy to get, and you can just go grab it and start playing with it once we publish it. And then we're obviously going to have our standard kind of set of product documentation and support materials. What we're going to see on the next slide is the kind of major steps, but it's really, really simple. I want to emphasize that. There's not a lot of complexity to this tool. If you're familiar with MSI packaging or app virtualization packaging, those can be fairly in-depth, and it takes a lot of expertise to do those operations. With this tool, it's really very simple, very straightforward. You can kind of just click through, and you're done. All right, so first step to do this, again, this is a reference because there's not a lot of complexity if you want to go back and look at it. You got to go grab that tool. You got to make sure that you have the right certs in order to re-sign that tool and provision it for the device if necessary, as it is on iOS devices. And then you just run the tool to create a new version of your package. And so I've got a screenshot here of what that experience looks like. So this is obviously on a Mac device, and it's just a screen capture of the command line. We thought about giving you guys a demo, but there's no real excitement here, and we'd have to lug all the way a Mac device, so we decided just to grab a screenshot because it communicates the same level of information. So you can see here the parameters are pretty basic. You've got the input application package. You have where you want to put the output application package. You have to provide some information about a manifest on iOS apps. This is called a plist. And then you have to provide your certificates. And so there's a provisioning profile, which is that top one. And then the set of hex letters is actually the certificate that your enterprise owns to sign your iOS applications. Okay, cool. We can move over to the demo here. So let me make sure that we've got everything set up. Okay, how many of you guys have used Intune before to import applications? So a couple. So I'll go through this. It's not really core to the demo. There's one aspect of it that's new that we've added to deal with these policy manageable applications, but since many of you aren't familiar with it, I'll just walk through how that works. Okay, so we're going to go over to the software node here in the dashboard. We're going to add software. You saw this a little bit earlier when Chris popped it up to do that edit operation on the application. We're going to show it to you now for iOS. All right. Let's see if I can remember the password. So it takes just a second to pop up. We've been doing lots of practicing with the network to make sure everything's working right, so we're pretty confident it's going to go through. Okay, so this is the standard software import or software setup wizard. Whenever you're putting a package into Intune, this is the process that you're going to start with, whether it be one that you're importing as a line of business app or you're doing it for a deep link to a store app or a manageable iOS app that Chris walked through. This is the starting point for all of the association of software with Intune. So from this dropdown, I'm just going to choose that I want to do an iOS app, and it asks me to provide two pieces of information. I need to provide where is that package and where is this kind of metadata or this manifest file, the plist for iOS, to do that. So it's desktop. On the desktop, right? Yep. So we chose Health Vault. I don't know if anybody saw some of the announcements in the press today, but Microsoft just released they call it Microsoft Band. It's a fitness health device. So I thought we'd use Health Vault so you can kind of see an allusion to that new capability, that new product. Okay, so let me just put in that manifest file. And once it pulls it in, I can click Next. And just like before, we need to provide some information. So I'm going to just say we published it by Microsoft. And it's called Health Vault. And you can provide an icon so that when your end users go into those company portal applications and they have that enterprise app store-like experience, they get a nice kind of icon to represent the application that you're providing to them. So I'm going to click Next. And I'd say, yep, this 5.0 later. That's fine. Okay, so here's the new part. So we went through that whole step just to show a little bitty new part. So if you can see here, there's some kind of summary information, and this is a kind of a design pattern throughout Intune. As you go through an operation or you make a change, it gives you a summary before you commit it so you can understand what's going to happen. And so what's new here is just this last line here under the software description where it says supports app policy. And so during that import operation, we've detected that application can take policy. And now that we know that it can take policy, when you go to deploy that application, you'll be able to associate a policy with it to protect the end user data. So I'm just going to skip the upload. We can upload. It doesn't take very long. We'll get that uploaded. And so we'll finish out the experience. So what this is doing is it's taking the file from the local machine and it's pushing it up into service and registering it so that it can be deployed. Okay, close. Okay, so now that we've got an application in there, let's figure out what we can do with it. So like all other configuration or policy controls, we're going to go to the policy node here, and let's create a new policy for an iOS application. So if we go down to configuration policies, we can see that there's some existing. So for your enterprise, you're likely going to have a collection of policies that you're going to want to do. And based on many of the customers we've talked to, there's some categorization that's likely to happen. You could have a different policy for every single application, but that becomes a little burdensome to manage. And in most cases, it doesn't seem like it's really necessary to protect the data. So what we expect is likely to happen here is that you might have a set of policies based on targeting of user groups, or you might have ones based on the sensitivity of the data. You might have like a high business impact policy that really, like if you have you're a medical company and you have applications that touch patient data, you might really want to lock that down. But if you have a campus, vending machine map or something, there's no really proprietary data, you might want to allow that one to share data so that you can copy and paste a location into a maps program that exists on the device. Okay, so let's add a new policy. And we're going to choose software. And you see here there's a set of policies that we've added that will be coming out in the next few months to control this. And there's two sets. There's one for the managed browser, which we'll touch upon when we do the client-side demo. And then there's one for the core manageable applications. And so we're going to choose an iOS one. And there's also two options here. And this is another design pattern within Intune, where if you want to just get this out there and you want to go quickly, you can choose the recommended settings. And what we've done for the recommended settings here is try to pick what we think is an average or an appropriate level of control and restriction on those applications to prevent data from leaking out. But for today, we're going to actually dig in and we're going to create a custom policy so you can see all the different options. Scroll that over. All right, so let's give it a name. Let's call it High Business Impact Apps. And I want to take a few minutes. If you went to the keynote or the foundation session, you've seen a lot of this already, but I wanted to go through it a little bit slower and go through a little bit of the details. So we basically categorize the policies that you're seeing in here into a couple different groups. The first one is around that managed browser that I mentioned earlier. So if you want to make sure that any kind of URL traffic or links that exist in documents or email are protected, you can use this policy to push any of that redirection or protocol handling into our managed browser that you've deployed to the end user's device. The second piece, or second category, is really around data transfer into and out of the application. So as Chris mentioned, one of the popular strategies today is a container solution. And often, they're fairly restrictive about, or they're not very flexible about how they allow data into and out of apps. And it's really, you can share broadly with everybody in the container, and you can't share with anything outside of it. And we wanted to have a little bit more flexibility to allow you to do things like those high business impact apps being locked down, and maybe a low business impact app having a lot more control. Okay, so let me just walk through these real quick. So we have one that controls backup. So this one is obviously an iOS device, so it's iTunes and iCloud, but it would be like the Google backup service on an Android device. We have flexibility to control incoming and outgoing data. So what we think is probably going to be the common default is that you allow incoming data from anywhere, right? So the real trick here is controlling the egress or the outgoing data and making sure that that isn't going to anything but another managed app. And so by allowing it from anywhere, you get a lot of flexibility so the end user kind of uses the device, but we are still protected on the outgoing. So let me just click this one down and we'll set it to that one. So this would mean that it allows data to transfer in from any other app. And we're I got it backwards. So we're going to allow only out to policy managed app, and we're going to allow receiving in from any app. Prevent save as is a feature that we get through the SDK. So if an application has adopted our SDK, that app can get a notification from us to say, hey, if you've got a custom save dialog, please shut that off. And then we'll do any of the file interception or file handling under the covers to make sure that any kind of normal save operation can't put it anywhere but the app's local data storage. And the last one here is around copy-paste controls, and this is the one you've seen kind of back and forth in the demo. I want to call your attention to one thing here real quick, is that we put tooltips in here to really explain what these policies are, so you don't have to go jump out to documentation. We will have kind of broad and deep documentation for these features, but we wanted to make sure that when you're using the tool and you kind of figure out, okay, well, what did this setting mean? We've got some information in there right now so that you can understand how it's going to behave on the client. Okay, so we're going to just leave that guy alone. And then the next category here is around what we call access. But these are policies that are going to fire off when the application is launching, so or resuming. So you can control them in a variety of different ways. But the concept here is that on that first launch experience, or if it hasn't been used for a while and they relaunch the application, you can ask the user you can ask the user for information to verify they are who they say they are through a PIN or their full Intune access credentials. Or you could say that I want to make sure that this device hasn't been compromised anyway and it's healthy before they get access to that application. And you can control how often they occur. So one of the other usability challenges that we're trying to address is that getting a PIN pop up every single time you transfer into and out of an app is a hassle for end users. I talked to one customer where they had very specific lockdown requirements about their devices, and so they had a two-factor authentication into the device, and then they were using a container solution, and they had a PIN into the container, and then the app often had a password, and it was a real challenge for their support teams dealing with the end users' kind of frustration with that multi-step process. So we use these timeouts to allow you to have like a single sign-on-like experience. So if you launch Word and you provide your PIN and you go into your email app, you're not going to get re-pinned until the timeouts expire. We also have an offline capability here. So if you have your iPad and you're going to go jump on a plane and you don't have internet access, you can still use the application within a window that you define. And maybe for a high business impact app, you say, look, no, you've got to be online all the time. We want you to be checking with your credentials every time you log in. You have the flexibility to control that behavior. The last one is the encryption policy that we offer. And there's several different options here on iOS that kind of mirror the device-level encryption capabilities. And so you can see here, again, there we have a little tooltip that walks you through what those are. On iOS, we've leveraged the device built-in encryption capabilities. And what we do within our SDK or our app wrapping tool is that we enforce that any file that app touches gets encrypted, whether the application marks it or not. On Android, we've, again, used the capabilities in terms of the crypto APIs to encrypt the data on the device, but we've done our own kind of encryption management. So on the Android devices, we're using the device's capabilities, but we're not relying on the device level encryption, which we've heard from some customers has some security challenges. Okay, so we walked through all the policies. Let's save this guy, and I'm gonna need to speed up a little bit because we're running a little short on time. Okay, so now we've created our new policy. Let's do a deployment real quick. So if we go back to our software tab, let's look for an application here. And you can see we've pre-imported a set. So I'm not going to go through a deployment. I'm going to show you what it looks like, and then we'll not actually go through the deployment. So let's pick a mail app. So we'll pop this guy open. Oops. Sorry, I need to go back and do the deployment. We're going to go to the mail app. We're going to manage the deployment. Okay, so this is the same workflow. If you've used Intune before, this is the same deployment workflow that you're used to. We've just added a new tab into this experience. So what you're going to do is you're going to choose which groups that you want to add this application to. And I'm just going to pick two at random here so you can see one of the features. We're going to click Next. And you have to choose how you want this to be installed. So we're going to say that it's a required install. That means it's going to be pushed to the device automatically for the user if they don't choose to have these apps for both of these user groups. And now we get to the new tab, which allows you to associate that policy you created. So one of the things that we're doing here is that you want to be able to say deploy Word out to your whole engineering team and your whole HR team or your marketing team. You may want to have a different, or maybe your executive team, you may want to have a different policy for each one. And so what you can do here is you can choose for the given user group through the same deployment experience which policy you want a given group to get. Okay, so I'm not going to go through the final deployment there because we're running a little bit short on time. And I'm going to switch back now into the presentation. Great. So again, we wanted you to have some resources to go home with, and you can read back on these. Again, Brad's blog actually goes through a fair number of these as well and puts them in the context of those four layers of protection. I'm not going to go through these. These are all the policies that we just talked about in text form. I'm going to quickly go through this one, though. We talked a lot about the app layer, the layer two capabilities. The device layer is also important for the data protection. So there's a series of device policies that you could augment these app level policies if you choose to do a different additional protection on the devices. So if you choose you don't want an app level PIN, you could do a device level PIN. You can have controls on what the complexity of those pins are. You can do device level encryption if you really want to, if it's a corporate owned device, if, for example, versus the app level. And then there's additional ones that you can use to control access to certain hardware capabilities of the device. Okay, let's flip over to our iPad, and we'll quickly go through the demo on the device. So we've set everything up on the admin side of things. Let's look at how it looks for the end user. Okay, great. So this is similar to the demo that most of you have seen in the keynotes. One of the things I forgot to mention earlier I want to emphasize as well is that in the keynote, you also saw some of these capabilities coming to Windows. So we're talking a lot today about iOS and Android and what Intune offers in those spaces. We've worked very closely with the, We've worked very closely with the Windows team to make sure that we're aligned on the scenario support, such that when Windows 10 offers these capabilities, Intune will be able to manage them, and that you have a kind of consistent set of tools to protect the data, be it on a Windows device or on one of the iOS and Android devices. And so I'm not sure why it's not reflecting on the screen here, but it's actually prompting me for a pin here. So we've set our pin timeout to zero, so every time we switch in between an app, it's going to pin, just to kind of make it easier to show, except for it's not showing. So now we're logging into our email. So the end user scenario that we're really targeting first, and you saw this yesterday in the conditional access discussion that Dilip did, is that email is the onboarding experience that most end users that we've heard of use to kind of get started with their company documents. They'll log in, they'll try to get access to email, they'll need to go through the enrollment experience, and then you can start pushing data and policies to your application. So in this demo, we've got a little sample mail. It's got an attachment. We're going to open up that attachment, and we're going to actually open it in Word. And so as you saw in the kind of other demos, the open in here is restricted to only other managed apps. So it doesn't matter if there's other viewer apps or applications that can handle this document format. It's only going to show the ones that are managed because that's the policies we set for that application. So we're being pinned again, and it shows up this time. That's great. And as I mentioned, we're getting pinned again because we set a policy to do so. If you're comfortable with a longer gap between with no pin and you want to kind of improve that end user experience, you're more than welcome to. So in all the other demos, they showed the copy paste, right? So you can copy from a managed app to another managed app, but if you copy this out and you put it in your grocery list by accident, it's not going to allow you to copy paste that. I'm going to show that just real quick because I suspect many of you have seen this before. I apologize, I'm fat fingering the screen here and it won't allow me to select that. Here, so let's say we copy this out and let's say I had a personal list that I was managing. It's like all the things I want to do. There we go, important things to do when I'm not at work. And if I mistakenly, maybe I had it on the clipboard and I just didn't even mean to and I tried to paste it in here, but we should see is that it does not allow me to paste it. It doesn't even show up as an option. And so we thought about, would it make sense to put it on the clipboard and just not, grayed out in some way or prevent them from doing that. And again, we went back to the usability piece and thought, hey, it's probably going to be confusing for an end user to see the option to paste when they can't. So we just did the simple approach and we removed it from the availability. So it's not even on a pasteboard that the end user can access when it's outside another managed app. Okay, so one more thing I want to show here is we go back to Word. It's just launching up. What I want to show you is the integration with the managed browser. So that policy we looked at previously, we've set that on this application. So if I click on this link, I can click on this link. Sorry. I'll be able to open it. And what it's going to do under the covers is we're doing interceptions on protocols and things like that. So any kind of web traffic that would typically be process on the platform for iOS and Android, we're going to intercept that and push it to our managed application, our managed browser here. And so we just went to Bing.com, but it could have been your internal SharePoint site or something on your intranet if the device is configured with access to your local intranet. One of the other capabilities that we offer is things like URL whitelist, blacklist. So if you have certain sites you only want your users to go to, maybe if it's a corporate-owned device, you only want them to go to certain internal sites, or if you want them to make sure, if maybe you're in an education situation and you don't want them going to other sites, you can blacklist certain sites as well. Okay, so that's our client-side demo for the app, and I'm going to flip back to the presentation. And again, I apologize for going a little long here. I appreciate you guys waiting because I know there's a happy hour and many of you may want to go to that. Okay, so last phase of our conversation today is kind of wrapping up that life cycle that we think of when we talk about how applications and corporate information is going to be existing on these mobile devices. And so again, based on conversations we've had with customers, folks like you, we saw there was a couple different needs here. One is that when you have these mobile devices and they're getting access to this corporate data, we need to make sure it's getting off that device when the device is no longer under management, however that happens. And so some of the common scenarios are that the user leaves the company. They just say, look, I'm done, or they're asked to leave the company. And they have a bunch of high business impact data on that device in the form of email, documents. Maybe in some cases this could also include applications. Another one is I forgot my device on the taxi seat or it fell out of my pocket, right? It's lost or it's stolen. And then the last one, which is one that we see a lot, is that if the end user said, hey, I want to go try this stuff out, and it's my personal device, they may not want all the admin controls on that personal device and may just say, hey, I'm still an employee of this company, but I don't want to bring company data onto my personal device anymore. I'm going to opt out and unenroll my own device. And so, obviously, there's a series of kind of expectations around these wipe operations. One expectation from the IT side is really to make sure all those company assets, those corporate assets, are removed, completely gone from the device when it's retired. From an end user perspective, you don't want your kids' photos, your personal apps, or any of your personal documents affected. So we needed to strike a balance there as well, and making sure that we had a set of options that would keep your company data protected, but give you the flexibility for preserving that end user content. Okay, so there's two major pieces to the wipe story. One is what we call the full wipe, or kind of resetting it to a factory default. And this is the same as kind of paving the device or completely resetting the device. And in this scenario, everything on the device is gone. All configuration, all apps, personal, corporate, doesn't matter. And we typically would see this in the case of the device being reported as lost or stolen. The second one is the one that is most common, and that one is the more selective removal of just those company assets from the device. And as Dilip mentioned in his talk yesterday, there's a broad range of assets that we look at on that device. It's not just your data and not just your apps. It's all the configuration. It's any search that you put down. Anything that's company pushed to that device needs to be pulled back off. With the capabilities that we're adding in the coming months for these MAM policy supports, one of the features of the SDK is to be able to do an even more fine-grained wipe. So consider an email application, which may have multiple accounts in it. It would be great if, rather than just wiping all the data from that application and removing it, we could say just the corporate account should be removed, and let's leave behind all the other accounts that we're not managing. And so with our SDK, there's the ability for the application to get a signal that says, hey, can you please delete all your data that's associated with, you know, foo at yourcompany.com? And it can remove all that data associated with that account. And we typically see this for multi-use devices. So maybe you have a device that has, it's shared within the office, and you have one user use it 1 week, and they bring it back in, they remove all their stuff, and then the next user enrolls, and it pulls down their apps and their settings, or it's a personally owned device that someone has brought into the workplace. Couple notes here on the behaviors. These retire operations, we're going to do a quick demo of the admin side, the IT pro side of things. An end user can initiate some of these as well, either by unenrolling or through our company portal application, a native application or a web-based application. They can, if they lost their device, they can say, hey, I lost my device, please wipe it, and it will do a remote wipe operation. There's a couple other notes here about the fact that the removal isn't just the local data, it also removes it from all the services, all the device records, so there's no privacy concern there with information floating around in our backend services. Retire is going to remove all those records from Intune and the peer services that we work with, like Azure Active Directory. Okay, so again, in the interest of time, this is a good reference for you to go back and look at. I'm going to actually show you how this works in the console. I'll show you the admin side of things. And if you squint real hard, I can show you a device notification on an Android device that shows how this works. So let's switch over to the device again, and we'll do that demo, and then we'll wrap up and let you guys get on your way. And my lovely assistant has pre-set this up for me. Thank you, Chris. So where we are right now is that we went into the groups, and we're looking at the devices, and you can see there's a set of devices here. This is an Android device. And so if I can right-click on that guy, you see there's an option to retire or wipe. And that's going to pop up this dialog that gives you those two options that we talked about. If you just click yes, this is what this is going to do is it's going to do the selective wipe operation. It's going to remove the company assets from that device. On an iOS device, for example, it's going to remove the management profile and anything that was pushed down via that management profile. If you click the little checkbox here, it's going to do that full device wipe, and it's going to pave the machine. So all data, all configuration, everything is gone on that device. So if I click yes, it's going to process the request. And again, I apologize, it's really, really small. What's 1, 2, 3, 4?
1, 2, 3, 4.
And then if we do the notifications, this, I promise, it says basically your device has been retired from your company, and it's going to remove all the corporate assets from that device. Okay, and so that's selective wipe. Really simple, really straightforward. You can do it for any of the device hierarchies that you have in the product. And again, the end user can do this as well through either our web-based or our native company portal applications. Okay, so Chris and I both talked a lot today about these new capabilities that we're adding around app management. I'd like you guys to kind of keep in mind and in the back of your head, this is part of a broader portfolio of capabilities that we're adding to Intune. We had a series of sessions over this week. We got one more tomorrow that talks about some of those capabilities. And, you know, we know data protection is a key part of that, but it fits into this larger message around how we're dealing at Microsoft with enterprise mobility and how we're tying management capabilities from, say, Windows Intune with our identity capabilities that come with Azure Active Directory to our productivity solutions with Office 365. So we're really thinking about not only how do we build the management capabilities for that, but how are we effectively tying together these capabilities with the other services that we have in the Microsoft Cloud. Here's a list for the related content. Again, this is the second half of a kind of two-part session. So Dilip yesterday talked about how to secure these devices and how the conditional access capabilities work and how you enroll. So if you missed that, go check it out, and it'll kind of help you understand how you get onboarded into this experience. And then we've got one more tomorrow morning to talk about more about the corporate-owned devices. And then there's a bunch of wrap-up stuff. If you need to reference here, I think in the next slide's actually going to have one more. Our QR code, so if you want to give us some feedback, please do so. Tell us how we did, tell us what information you'd like to see next time, and give us that feedback so we can improve these. Thank you very much. Thank you for being patient and waiting. If you've got questions, we'll be up front.